anything that you ever want to learn, you're not going to get proficient until you practice. So it's just a matter of you make up your mind. If you tell yourself, I'm not financially minded, I'm not financially proficient, then you'll give yourself an excuse not to learn. So you've got to say, I don't know this, but I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to immerse myself in knowledge until I learn to do what it is that I don't know how to do. And if you have that mindset, you'll figure out what you need to.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. I interview the top commercial real estate investors and industry experts so you can learn from their experiences. So if you're an investor, a high W-2 earner, or real estate or tech sales professional that wants to invest in real estate without having to manage properties or leave your day job, then this podcast is for you. Or if you're already investing in real estate, but you're doing it part-time and you want to become a full-time multifamily or full-time commercial real estate investor, this podcast is for you too. You're going to learn a ton. You will learn from real-life multifamily investors and other professionals in the industry. They're going to share their blueprints for success, and I'm super excited that you're here. So I hope you enjoy the show. All right. Hello, hello. My name is Abel Pacheco. I am the host of the Five Talents Podcast, and we are super excited today because we have an amazing guest, Miss Anna Kelly. Anna, thanks for joining the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Abel.
Yeah, this is going to be a treat for a lot of our listeners because you have an amazing background. If I can, let me just, you know, kind of say some of your highlights, and I'm going to turn it back over to you to really introduce yourself. But the reason I wanted you, Anna, is you've had such a successful career. You're the founding partner of REI Mom, a Greater Purpose Capital Group. Those are real estate companies that have a meaningful impact in communities that you guys invest in. And you're a former top-ranked financial relationship manager for a private bank. You've got an awesome 20-year background in real estate. You purchased, renovated, rent millions of dollars of real estate across numerous asset classes with a portfolio of about $80 million and 2,000 doors. So if anybody is wondering, well, who is Anna and why should I be listening to this, Ms. Anna Kelly? Well, you're a sought-after speaker on multiple podcasts, on real estate events across the country, and really, you know, helping a lot of people overcoming fears and increasing knowledge and minimizing those risks in real estate, which is just, you know, it's dear to my heart as well. And you're a three-time Amazon and number one best-selling author. So you've got a tremendous background. Thank you so much. Let me turn it over to you. If you can, just, you know, introduce yourself a little bit and, you know, tell us who you are. And I'd love to hear about those books as well. So however you want to get started, Anna.
Sure. Thanks so much for that amazing introduction. You know, I just pinch myself every day, Abel, that I get to do what I love. And it's been a long 20-year process, you know, to get to the point where I'm really completely financially free and independent and, you know, grateful that, you know, all the hard work paid off. And real estate is a long game. I got into real estate because I had a baby and that baby is now a senior in high school and I wanted to be home with him. You know, I was very career driven and, you know, wanted to climb the corporate ladder and thought that the key to success was climbing that corporate ladder. And then I had that baby and I just did not want to put him in daycare. It broke my heart. So started investing in real estate, you know, flipped properties. I've done some vacation rentals, very small multifamily, single family to up to very large multifamily, and really, you know, was able to work full time while raising my four children. And, you know, the real estate was the side hustle that was another full time job in and of itself. And so I retired from AIG in 2019 after 20 years there. And now I'm, you know, real estate completely full time with only one job and work really, really hard in the day to grow my portfolio and to help others to do the same through my coaching. And then, you know, 4 o'clock, the kids come home and I'm wife and mom and just enjoying life. So that's a little bit about me. The three books that I'm in, thank you for mentioning those, are really books that I'm really super proud of. So the first one is called Resilience, Turning Your Setback into a Comeback. And it talks a bit about my backstory, but it's put together by Kyle Wilson, who produced The Chicken Soup for the Entrepreneurial Soul. And the book that we just launched 2 weeks ago is called Success Habits of Super Achievers. And nice. I'm just blessed to be a part of it with many, you know, people whose names you might know, Darren Hardy, Les Brown, Brian Tracy, Mark Victor Hansen, just some really strong self-improvement and business entrepreneur leaders. Phil Collin of Def Leppard, my favorite band in the world, and me.
Wow.
So yeah. It's a book that I, you know, encourage all of your listeners to go get. It's on Amazon. And it really is just stories of what makes people successful, what we credit our success to, that you can get, you know, nuggets that can help you in your own business and multifamily investing ventures. And then the last one I'm really proud of is called The Only Woman in the Room, put out by Ashley Wilson. And it's stories of 20 women real estate investors and just kind of our backstory and the things that have made us successful as women in the space, and also the challenges that come with being a woman in the space. And again, they're all available on Amazon and highly encourage you to check them out.
Wow, Anna, that is so awesome. Congratulations on all of the success and time and hard effort and work. You mean it didn't come overnight, Anna? Is it?
You know, much to my chagrin, Abel, I watched a few episodes of HGTV back in 2003 when it first came out, and I thought, I'll just flip a house or two and then quit my job and work a couple months a year and be home. And it didn't work out that way. It was a lot harder than they make it look. And, you know, we hit the Great Recession and the economy took a toll. Lending dried up. Properties, you know, were difficult to take down. And a lot of people lost a lot of money in real estate. So thankfully, by the grace of God, got through all of that and turned. It turned out pretty good on the other side, but lots of challenges and, you know, truly a 17-year journey of trying to be home with my baby. Took 16 years where I thought it would take a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, congrats on the perseverance, the persistence to kind of keep going. Yeah. And despite, you know, hardships and obstacles and all kinds of challenges that I'm sure you faced, you pulled through, and now you're going to create that life, and a little bit later than expected, but at the same time, you did it. And now I think the amazing part is the legacy change that you're going to create for you and your family is, you know, unlike anything else that, you know, you could have probably done in the last 16 years. And so that's awesome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, grit and perseverance is really the key to success in just about anything. So it's not always the smartest people that make it and are successful. It's really those that can overcome challenges, you know, get creative. Yeah. And do what it takes to get back on the saddle every time you fall off and just keep going until you reach your goals. So for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a few things that I, even just in this initial, you know, first couple of minutes, it's you were working full time and doing real estate. It wasn't, you know, trying to go full time the very beginning. You had a lot of success in your area, an award-winning, you know, financial relationship manager. You were dealing with money, obviously helping others. You were in the finance world. So I'm sure that spilled over and kind of helped you in your real estate investing, but you kept that as your primary source of income and had the quote unquote side hustle while having four little ones. I have a 2.5-year-old and a 1-year-old right now. So I'm just starting your journey of that. Yeah. But
yeah, it, awesome. You know, it definitely helped me to be financially minded, where I was always trying to figure out, you know, what's the best investments. I mean, I was trained on all the retail investments, stocks, bond, mutual funds, insurance policies, you know, all of that. But there's very little education in the education space. I mean, in colleges, even through financial advisory training on real estate, it's just not something that you learn, you know, without starting out and knowing somebody that's in it. And so I had all of my trust and faith with my finances in my 401k and my financial stocks and all the things that I was told forever were super safe. You know, I worked for AIG, which was one of the largest companies in the world, and thought it was super safe. And the recession really taught me very quickly that, you know, the market isn't the safe way to invest your money, despite what we're trained to tell our clients and what we believe. Historically, inflation, fees, and taxes eat away at that 8% return. And you might make, you know, 2-3% on an inflation and tax adjusted basis if you get in and out at the right time in the market. And so I learned that I had to kind of take control of my finances and not rely on what I thought was the stability of working for a large corporation or having, you know, a great stock portfolio. And going through real estate and starting to invest, my rentals did the best during the recession. And I realized there's power in passive income, that no matter what happens to a job, what happens to the stock market, I can bank on most of that rental income coming in most of the time and really being able to live, you know, a financially free life as a result.
Yeah. You having the blessing of having the financial literacy behind you, it's very easy to say, okay, this one's performing well. This one's not. A lot of people don't, as you mentioned. How can somebody who, you know, can't say, I'm not very financial literate. I haven't read an income sheet. I don't know how to read a P&L. I don't know, you know, what net operating income or how to derive it. And every time I see an Excel spreadsheet, I don't know what to do. Give one of those listeners, I think we have a lot of passive investors and maybe first-time general partners that are probably, you know, listening in, you know, in general, and, you know, probably even a few veterans that are eager to hear your insight on this topic.
Sure, Abel. So, you know, it's all about learning. I mean, I grew up in San Antonio, Texas in Section 8 housing. My mom was a single mom. She worked two jobs. She was a leasing agent during the day, oldest of six kids. I did not have anybody to teach me financial literacy. I just knew that I wanted to get out of that cycle of poverty and I had to figure out how to get an education and be the best at everything I did to have a chance to live, you know, the American dream and just be okay. And so I didn't have anybody to show me. I did start working at Bank of America and they started training me to be a financial advisor. So that was helpful. But even through my education with a business management degree, minor in accounting and finance, I did not really learn a whole lot that helped me today. I did learn how to kind of look at, you know, a balance sheet and a P&L. But when you're learning and you're 20, 21 years old, it kind of, you know, goes out the window and you forget. What really helped me, though, to be fair, when I worked at AIG, I handled state insurance department audits after the crash. And so I had to learn the SAP system and how to read huge financial statements and help the auditors to audit them. And that really helped me to get really good at analyzing data and looking at numbers and saying, does this make financial sense? And so that definitely helped me when I started to think about real estate. And I read a book called Multifamily Millions by Dave Lindahl. And it talked about how to start making millions in multifamily. And it had numbers on how you evaluate a P&L and, you know, gross income and the expenses and the net operating income and how you, you know, divide that by a cap rate to find value. So it was really that book and just a little bit of, you know, reviewing of P&Ls that got me to say, okay, I can learn this. And then you get really good with Excel. And then it's just practice. You look at deals, you analyze deals, and you do it over and over and over again, and you become proficient. So you just have to get out there and learn.
Yeah, I love it. That's a great book and a great suggestion. My first one in commercial multifamily real estate was Ken McElroy's The ABCs of Real Estate Investing. And, you know, to my surprise, it was exactly that. It's like, here's how you analyze a deal. Here's how I looked through some income statements. So anyways, it was a very valuable. That's good. And then practice over and over and over again, right?
100%. Yeah. And everything, anything that you ever want to learn, you're not going to get proficient until you practice. So it's just a matter of you make up your mind. If you tell yourself, I'm not financially minded, I'm not financially proficient, then you'll give yourself an excuse not to learn. So you've got to say, I don't know this, but I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to immerse myself in knowledge until I learn to do what it is that I don't know how to do. And if you have that mindset, you'll learn and you'll figure out what you need to.
Yeah, that's awesome. So congrats. And then I really appreciate all the insight. So let's fast forward a little bit because I've heard you on a number of podcasts. If you're interested in Anna's like first deals, she's got a lot of really good ones, a lot of good stories. I saw you on some recent closings. You've had some really big successes and big wins. Can we talk about some of your most recent deals so that, you know, our listeners get an idea? Okay, this is what you're working on today.
Sure. So we just closed an amazing apartment building in Houston, Texas, in the Galleria area of Houston, which is a really high-end area, lots of fun shops and restaurants and nightlife and a place that everybody kind of wants to live in that area. And so we were able to take down a really strong asset in a class A area that's about a class B to B minus asset because it's a little older, it's 80s vintage. And so, you know, we bought it well below market. We got a several million dollar price adjustment because of COVID. And we're going to go in and update the interiors and the exteriors a bit, raise the value of that property and, you know, create some strong cash flow and upside returns for our investors on the back end. And that's, you know, in my former backyard. So I consider myself still always a Texan.
Yeah.
I live in Pennsylvania. And that's an apartment complex that we're really excited about. We closed on last month.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on closing my third deal in Atlanta market, a 494 unit institutional grade investment there, class B plus area, class B building. And we'll do the same. We'll go in and continue the renovations that they're doing on the interiors to be able to get some rent increases. And one of the things that, you know, I really attribute to my stability and success is that we really try to invest primarily in class B areas and class B to C assets that we can bring up to the area standard. But we focus on areas where there's a lot of demand and not as much supply for the demand, and where we've got above average income earners who have some savings, who have good credit, and even in a pandemic, want to prioritize paying their rent because they want to keep their credit strong. They want to, you know, use whatever income or unemployment they have to actually pay the rent. And so we invest in stable areas with a stable demographic that allows us, you know, some resiliency during a recession. And so while they don't have as much potential upside as some, you know, syndications do that invest in class C areas, we really like that trifecta of financial goals. So When I was studying and talking to my clients about, you know, their financial goals, we learned that there's three basic goals to everybody's financial path. And that is, you're in a phase where you want income, you need more money. And then you get to a phase when you've got enough income to meet your needs, you start looking for growth, you know, to grow your assets in your portfolio. And then eventually you get to a place where you've got enough, you might still want more, but you want to really focus on low risk investments that help you to preserve all of that capital and wealth that you work so hard for. And so I try to focus on multifamily properties that really are going to give me income growth and a strong likelihood of asset preservation, where we're balancing, you know, those things with risk and taking on lower risk investments mm-hmm. in really strong areas.
Yeah. So in this life cycle of your investments, your first deals, would you classify them as like, I was in the income phase and I was a little more risky back then, and you followed this path of, well, I was in growth and kind of now I'm in this, you know, preservation, lower risk. Did that follow your investing path almost to a T, or?
Sure. For the most part, you know, my goal was create enough passive income that I can get rid of my six-figure job. I can walk mm-hmm. away from the career and just live on that passive income. So income was my primary.
That was number one. Mm-hmm.
I did also invest in hybrid deals, though, that were going to have some growth and appreciation. Because when mm-hmm. I started out, Abel, we didn't have any money. And so, you know, we had, long story, but we had started a business and had a lot of debt. And so, you know, I had enough money to put down on a building. And then I needed to come up with more money. So we bought buildings that had a value add component where we could put in the sweat equity, and we did all the work ourselves in the beginning, yeah. other than what needed like a master plumber or electrician or roofer. Yeah. And we raised the value of those properties. And then I refied or took a second mortgage to cash out the equity. So I had that growth and equity piece. And then we used that equity as the down payment on the next one and did mm-hmm. it over and over. So I was looking for properties that would give me income and growth. And, you know, once I was able to, you know, retire from the corporate career, you know, financially free in terms of my income, of course, I still want more income. I still want more growth. So I'm really looking for all three. Yep. But in a time of a recession and a pandemic like we're living in now, the asset preservation is significantly more important than getting more income and having something that I hope to have growth on in the next few years. And so I think for any of us, even if you're still looking for to replace your income or you're looking for growth, you've got to, especially now when you're in a down market, really be more conservative and not take huge risks that also could make you lose everything you've worked so hard for.
Yeah, all great points. 100% agreed. Nobody wants to lose their seed money. It took you so long to get your seed in the first place.
Yes.
And, you know, we got to be, you know, treat them like gold, and that's the future, right? So.
Right.
Preserve it, underwrite them conservatively, listen to some of the advice that Anna mentioned earlier, rewind this, you know, show and go get the practice, the expertise, the knowledge of underwriting as many deals as possible. So when you actually see the gem, when you see the diamond, you can understand, oh, this is the gem. This is what I was looking for. If you don't have the practice, you may not even be able to find, you know, the diamond in the rough. So all great points. And then thank you so much. So the deals that you've had today, I've seen some of your partners. They're amazing partners. And you're among them. I'm sure they would say the same about you now with your name and your brand and you know, just your hard work and effort over 20 years. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe you found these partners today and maybe draw back to, you know, even 5 years ago, the partners that you did deals with 5 or 10 years ago, they're different than they are now. So maybe walk us through that journey a little bit so we can kind of get some insight there.
Sure, Abel, that's a great question. And, you know, everybody has kind of a different goal and life vision for what their life and their business is going to look like. And, you know, different people do the multifamily thing in a different way very successfully. For me, I wanted to continue to do really good deals with really strong people and maximize my time. When I started out, my husband and I did all of it ourselves. And so I had a couple of partners where, you know, they would put the down payment on a property. We would manage it, renovate it, do all the hard work, you know, the asset management. And so, you know, on a deal by deal basis on small deals, I had done a couple with one or two partners. And when I decided to, you know, finally give my notice and retire and decide, okay, now is the time for me to start scaling up into even bigger properties, I knew I would need to start bringing in more partners and to be able to leverage their time and their money and their skills to supplement mine. Because when you work so hard and, you know, 70 to 80 hours a week for a decade to get to where you are, the reason that I did it was so that I could be home with my kids and I could spend more time with them. And so I did not want to grow a huge company where I was going to have to, you know, work 50, 60, 70 hours a week again to grow a big multifamily conglomerate. It's just not where I am in my life. My time is more important to me now than the money. So thankfully, I'm in a fortunate position where if I never do another deal, I'm okay. Do I want to do deals? Yes, but I only want to do deals that are going to, you know, help me financially and also allow me to have the time freedom, which is really why we want the financial freedom. So I had to say, okay, what am I really good at? And what can I give up control of to really trustworthy partners that have integrity, that have competence, that know what they're doing? And how can we, you know, take down assets that are a win-win and, you know, bring together all of our goals to where they're well aligned? And so I did 3 joint venture deals with the same 2 partners here in Central PA as my first bigger deals. And those are one investor I met at a meetup. We both spoke at some local meetups over a couple of years and we're acquaintances and we decided, hey, let's get together and talk about doing some deals. And we did 1 joint venture together and that went really well. And we decided to do another one and another one. So we've done 3 together, but they really are focused on Central Pennsylvania. So being a Texan, I really love Texas.
And all right, Texas.
I do. And I really am bullish on the markets in Texas. So I know Houston well, I know San Antonio well, somewhat Dallas and Austin, but really Houston and San Antonio. So those are markets I've been really focused on. And it's just been hard to find the right deals that meet my criteria, despite analyzing, you know, hundreds. So I met someone, Ashley Wilson is one of my partners who was also investing in Texas, and she's here in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we became really good friends and confidants and helped each other through asset management issues and different properties. And we had talked about, okay, now we've gotten to know each other real well. If we find a deal that's aligned and meets all of our goals, let's figure out how to work together. And we had some complementary competencies and also some similar competencies. And so we said, hey, here's the deal. Do you want to help? What role would you like to play? And we decided to do it on a deal by deal basis. And then my partner in Atlanta, Ellie Perlman, had already been in the Atlanta market. And we again, you know, met and the deal was aligned. Our skill sets were aligned. So I joined her to asset manage 2 complexes there and to partner on those. And so my model, Abel, is really find really strong markets that I want to invest in and find partners that I know have competence, have confidence, and have integrity. And if those things are aligned and the deals and the markets are aligned, then I will partner on a deal by deal basis, you know, with partners where we can advance our financial goals and that of our investors.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And the stronger the partner, the, I guess, closer to your personal goals you can achieve, leveraging their expertise, their time, their resources, and obviously them doing the same with you, but it's more a more efficient company, a more efficient business that we're running. It's not a, for those listening that have never done it, it's not a single family house where one person, you know, is in charge of it. This is a big team. And that's part of the investment side of it is it's, we want to invest in something that is run like a business, is run efficiently, that has good capital preservation and has good economic indicators of success. So that, you know, this requires a team. So that's great. So in your investing today with those partners, you know, give me like, I don't know, a couple of either questions or a couple of viewpoints, maybe that somebody hasn't thought about. Like we would normally say, oh yeah, my morals, my alignment, my vision, that's good. Then your skills are different than mine or compatible in some areas. Those are great. What are like one or two questions that most people would never think about asking? And because you asked or because you found out, you're like, I don't want to partner with this team at all. And oh, this is makes perfect sense. I'm going to partner with this team. And it was just so easy to do so. Hello, hello. This is Abel Pacheco, your host for the Five Talents Podcast. After listening to a few episodes, deep down, do you know that multifamily and commercial real estate investing is one of the best ways to create financial freedom? If you said yes to that question and you are where I was a few years ago, then I'd absolutely love to connect with you. A few years ago, I started personally consuming a ton of real estate education. I traveled all over the country, as many real estate conferences and seminars that I could go to. I took 200 plus hours of real estate education. I spent thousands of dollars along the way. And I did this because I knew the path to financial freedom for me and my family was through commercial real estate and syndication. So if you've made a similar decision, I'd love to connect with you. And potentially in the future, I'd love to partner with you as well. Take a moment, go to 5tcre.com/invest, and I'd love to set up a time to talk.
Sure. Yeah, those are great, great questions. And, you know, something that I spent a lot of time on, you know, myself, and then also with the students that I coach is really how do you identify potential strong multifamily partnerships and really any partnerships. But like you said, I mean, you've got to make sure that your skill sets are complementary. If someone's just like you, you're going to have clashes and you're going to have holes that can't be filled because you don't have someone competent in that area that's also really passionate about that area. So not only competencies, but how passionate are they about it? You know, if both of you are like, I don't really love asset management, but I can do it. You know, you're going to get burnt out doing asset management because you're not passionate about it. So you've got to, you know, find team members who really want to play in the lane that they're going to be in that deal and that they're passionate about it. They're good about it. It excites them when they wake up every day because then they're going to do a better job at it. Okay. Then you will, and then others will. And also it should be more something we think about, but a lot of times we don't really get to know people's personality until after you're kind of in the deal and in the trenches and dealing with difficulties. And, you know, if you've got somebody who is very humble and kind of laid back and maybe a pushover, and you've got someone that's arrogant and prideful and, you know, domineering, you're going to have conflict because one's going to felt like they're walked on and the other one's going to feel like they're powers being usurped. And so you've got to really make sure that your personalities are aligned. How do you handle conflict? Is one more kind of like a bull in a china shop and the other tiptoes around it? What's your communication style? Are you going to communicate your concerns or are you going to let them, you know, build up and then blow up? And so you've got to kind of get to know those things about your partners. And if you don't know, you need to ask those questions. You know, how do you handle conflict? Are you good and transparent? How often do you want to communicate about what we're doing? So those are important things. And then also really your financial goals and your risk tolerance. So, you know, there are some investors that I absolutely think extremely highly of, but they love doing higher risk deals and using bridge debt. I'm an investor because of what I went through during the last recession, that's very cautious about doing bridge debt when you're at the height of the market about to come down into a recession, or when you're in a recession like a pandemic and you don't know what the next 3 to 5 years are going to look like. I don't want bridge debt. I don't want heavy value add repositions. I want long-term fixed rate, low rate, stable mortgages and stable areas. And I'm willing to give up some of that upside for stability. And so if I'm trying to partner with somebody that wants much riskier deals than I do, or they like a different type of market or asset class than I do, different kind of debt, that can create some problems. So those are important questions to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. All of those are good. The one I come across a lot is people are working a lot of times as real estate as a side hustle to their profession. They make good money. They want to invest it. And then some people are full-time. And if I'm full-time, I want to work Monday through Friday from 8 to 5 on my real estate business. And some other people are like, well, I'm at work and I need to have a meeting about this property at 8 p.m. at night. You're like, no. So ask some of those questions and feel those things out. Just kind of like Ana's saying is the emotional part, the conflict part, how to resolve those issues, the risk tolerance, all those are great points because you got to find out that stuff. You know, if there's a great deal with a team that has some issues, you know, the deal's going to suffer. And so, if you can work that stuff out ahead of time, you'll be in a much better situation. Sure. Once you've underwritten 50 deals and you find your golden nugget, you're like, I want to take it to the right people and the right team. So anyways.
Yeah. And time is a big one. And that's one of the reasons that I really recommend that people kind of date on a deal by deal basis before you ever think about starting a company with somebody, because you know, if somebody is available full time, they might say, hey, I expect that we're both putting in 40 hours a week. Well, if you're working full time or like me, even though I have control of my time, I don't want to build a big company where I have to work on 140 or 50 hours a week. Plus, I got all my other deals and my kids and all that stuff. I'm going to say, listen, I'll work strategically and really hard and I'll move the needle further than a lot of people that work full time. But hey, at 4 to 9, I'm at my kids' games. And unless it's an emergency, I'm not available, you know? Yeah. And so some people that works great for. Other people, they're like, you're not the partner for me. And that's okay. So you've got to know what's your priorities in life and with your time, and what are you able to give and what are you not able to give? And those are really important discussions for most people that come to me and want to partner on a deal or vice versa. They're just like, hey, can you help do this, this, or this? You want to, I like you, let's invest together. And that's just not enough.
Yeah. So on this priorities for life, I got so excited about talking about this other stuff, Ana, and I was really actually most passionate about some of your giving back, some of your efforts, some of the opportunities that you're kind of thinking about. Can we just share the rest of your time? Like, what are those priorities? How do you give back? You know, I'd love to hear all of this together.
Sure. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, at some point, thankfully, we all want to get to a place where we have control of our time and we have control of our money and we have the freedom to say, okay, how do I want to spend my day and what's important to me and what do I want my ideal life to look like? And, you know, after I retired from the corporate career, and my kids were in school. So that stay-at-home mom dream didn't look the same. You know, now they're at school. So what do I do with my day? And it's always been really important to me to pour into the lives of other people. And as someone who grew up in Section 8 housing and has family that are still in Section 8 housing, I really am passionate about helping people to get out of that and to get out of that cycle of poverty. And so, you know, I've worked with inner city youth in Houston and mentorship programs where we helped with financial literacy, helped single moms, you know, develop job skills so that they could get better paying jobs. And so one of the things that I've had a heart for a long time, and now I'm excited to be able to do and have the funds and the network to help me to do, is really when we invest in communities to be able to make a true impact on the people in the communities, not just making them prettier and, you know, then raising their rents, but really how can we provide value to those people? You know, the single moms that the kids are there and they're latchkey kids like I was, you know, can we go in and partner with community resources and maybe some churches and some organizations like YMCA that will come and pour into the lives of the kids in those communities, you know, having, if the community wants to come to them, someone that'll come and do a weekly Bible study, or that'll take the kids to church, or that'll take them to an after school program, coming in and having a resource center where people can learn computer skills and job skills and help with their resumes. So I'm working on some resources to help our residents to gain financial literacy and to think about financial independence and how they can expand their means and make wise financial decisions to hopefully be able to move out of our complexes into something nicer and buy their own home. So, you know, being able to make a true impact on our communities while still creating returns for myself and my investors that have a more meaningful impact is really, really important to me.
That's amazing to hear. Yeah, absolutely. So how are you doing this, or how have you thought about doing it in the future too? Are you using your actual investment, or is it after the investment, your personal dollars? Have you started to think about that part of it or put it in action yet?
Sure, both. So for my own portfolio, you know, we're obviously using our own dollars, you know, to help our residents and our own time. For properties that I own with different partners, you know, different partners have different backgrounds and different faiths that may be different than my own. So they may not say, hey, yes, I want you to bring in a church to do a Bible study. They may be, you know, agree to let's take a certain percentage of our NOI and set aside X number of dollars a year where we can have community functions and we can do things that better the community, such as let's have a week where we're doing Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, and we're giving people budgeting tools and teaching them. So those are kind of things that you can do with very little expense annually. And if you can partner with other community organizations like the Children's Hunger Fund to come and bring lunches to students who are having to, you know, do school at home while their mom works. Those are things that we can do and give back as partners very easily without a ton of money spent. And so it's those types of programs that I'm really focused on starting to put together. I am a part of a group called Kingdom Minded Investors, where we are looking also to start working together to create these types of programs that help our communities in the areas of faith and finance, and to be able to create some models and systems and programs that we can implement in our own communities and then package them so that other operators can duplicate them in their communities across the country.
Yeah, that is so awesome. On the same, you know, kind of vein, I joined a Christian Kingdom, it's called Kingdom Capitalist. It's a Christian real estate mastermind. There it is. And I've never been around so many other people that, you know, had, you know, my same faith and background, but wanted to go make a lot of money and then through real estate. And it was just, it all is very, you know, it all flows together very well when you apply it in a way or in a fashion. And we can make a lot of money and we want to implement some of these life-changing things or drive an impact. So I'm in full agreement and I love it. I love hearing all that stuff. So how group, that's kind of, is it a similar Kingdom-Minded REI?
Yeah, Kingdom-Minded Investors, very, very similar. We don't really have a mastermind per se at this point. You told me about Kingdom Capitalists and I had a conversation with the guy that leads that up. So I'm going to join that and see how that, you know, see how you guys operate. And that's
really to have you.
Thank you so much. And I just launched a new capital company called Greater Purpose Capital. And what I'm doing there is when I'm working on deals, you know, most of my deals, I really want to make a big impact. And I've got a lot of investors who want to make an impact. And so I'm focused on finding deals and finding apartment communities where we really can purposefully make an impact and bringing in investors who have that same heart. Because if your investors only care about their IRR and their ROI, they're going to be like, why are you spending $10,000 a year on these programs? But if they can take a 0.02% less return and make a 2,000 time return in the lives of somebody in their community, that's so much more meaningful for so many investors. And so I'm really looking to align myself with other investors who also want to be able to invest passively where I can find the deal, I can operate the deal, I can make those impacts in the community, and then show them how their investing dollars are not only creating a greater purpose for them and allowing them to create financial freedom passively, but also while doing it, while making a real impact on the world. So my new brand and these types of masterminds working together with other believers is something really exciting to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, congrats. And I look forward to a lot of success in that area and hope you make a ton of capital and a lot of return so that you can have the biggest impact possible. So that's great. We're doing our first impact investment as well. So we did a deal. We put a nonprofit in the deal. You know, obviously a lot of partners when I say we, but, you know, had a haircut from an investor standpoint and had investors come in and say, okay, I understand I'm going to take a lower return, but here's why. We've got a nonprofit in the opportunity and we're kind of there along for the ride. And it's a pretty cool opportunity. So we're excited about that as well.
That's awesome.
Before you go, if our investors, our network, other partners, other real estate people, professionals want to reach out to you, want to get in touch with you, what's the best place? How do they do so?
Sure. So my email is info@reimom.com. I have two websites. One is reimom.com, which is related to speaking and coaching and more educational, and then greaterpurposecapital.com for those interested in passively investing in multifamily deals that'll make an impact on other people's lives.
To have a greater purpose. I love it. Well, thank you very much. Is there anything on the show we have not talked about? Anything you were excited about sharing? Anything I didn't ask about? Feel free to take as much time as you want.
I think you did an amazing job, Abel. You've been a great host and it's been my pleasure to be your guest today.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the time and what an amazing episode. So if you have a moment, I would take a few minutes, get out a pen and a piece of paper, rewind the session. If you're not at the house, it's a good one. There's a lot of nuggets. And again, my name is Abel Pacheco. I'm your host for the Five Talents Podcast. If you have any questions about real estate investing, happy to help you as well. Our website, 5tcre.com. If you heard or appreciated Anna's story and just want to share a thank you for her time, reach out to her directly. She would love to hear from you and appreciate everything that you do. Thank you very much, Anna.
Thanks, Abel.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Five Talents Podcast. I'm your host, Abel Pacheco. Each week, we're going to bring you interviews from other industry experts and commercial real estate investors who followed their dreams and achieved massive success. If you enjoyed this episode, then you're going to want a copy of our Passive Investor's Guide, Tackling Commercial Real Estate the Easy Way. It's the guide we use to invest in $93 million of commercial real estate. It's a 65-page ebook. It's a great resource to learn the basic mechanics of multifamily syndications. And we're going to show you how to evaluate your next passive investment opportunity. So if you subscribe to our podcast now, leave us a review and a rating, I'm going to give you a free copy. So take a moment to do that now. We'd appreciate it. And then you can register for the book at 5tcre.com/ebook, 5tcre.com/ebook. Let us know and we're going to send you a copy. Thank you so much for subscribing to the Five Talents Podcast.